or loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly. May my words and our thoughts concord with your truth, O Lord. Amen. Two basic definitions in the dictionary of the word ambassador. One is someone who represents a government of a country in a foreign land. The other is someone who represents, speaks for, or advertises an organization. Paul has used the idea of representing Jesus when he's writing to the Corinthians. The Corinthians, you know, that church that had so many things going wrong with it that it took at least three letters, we only have two of them by the way, to sort out their problems. Perhaps that's just like many a church today. Anyway, this week's Talking Jesus session is about telling Jesus' story. Now, if you're an ambassador in either of the senses that I've mentioned, you need to know either what the government's line is, or all about the organisation or product that you are promoting. Even more pertinent in the first definition is that an ambassador is working in a foreign land. Perhaps a country where they know nothing of the culture, customs, or way of life of the land that you are inside representing your own government. Look around at society today, and you may well get the feeling that if we're Christians and ambassadors for Christ, we're almost in a foreign land. A land whose values are not always our values, whose ways are not always our ways, whose very thoughts are perhaps not always our thoughts. Now, it would be a very foolish preacher who even attempted to condense into just 15 minutes or so the story that is Jesus' story, because that is the story of this book, or should I say more correctly, these books. In a few weeks' time, many churches across the land will have a very traditional carol service, a service which often consists of 9 lessons and carols. These services actually take you very quickly through the first part of this story, up until the arrival of the Word became flesh. The first reading is sometimes from the very first book of the Bible, the story of the fall in Eden. It goes through the prediction of the arrival of the suffering servant in the book of Isaiah, and the arrival of man's disobedience, God's rescue plan predicted, and the arrival of the awaited one in Bethlehem. And then, of course, the pages of the New Testament take us through the story of his life, his betrayal, his arrest, the crucifixion, the despair of his followers, And the disbelief which slowly turns into the remarkable realization that Jesus actually has risen from the dead. And then we track those first amazing years of growth of what we have come to know as the church. And the final culmination of a haunting and incredibly hard to interpret vision of the consummation of all things, when God will finally come and dwell once again with his people in a new heaven and a new earth. Now that is the very quick story of the Bible in a few hundred words. And on this very day, I have to pause for just a few seconds to remind us that we're celebrating on our patronal festival Christ the King, which points to the very heart of the story. Those few days in Jerusalem where Christ was enthroned upon the cross, an emblem of shame become the throne of a king. But what are we to do about telling Jesus' story? The first thing I must say is that if you have to tell his story, you have to be familiar with it. This book holds most of the answers to most of the questions. But to give those answers, you must know what it says. I've summarised the big story, but within its pages are myriad small stories, responses to the sort of problems which people feel in the modern world, and which they may confront you with and ask about, and your attitude as a Christian. Feelings of guilt, feelings of hopelessness. A very common one is lack of self-worth, struggles with the pain of grief. I could go on to mention dozens of things which people we may meet are having to face up to in our modern world. Use of time, lifestyle priorities, family struggles. That's why familiarity with the stories in this book is so important if we want to share Jesus' story with others. Of course, it all starts and ends with God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But there are many different ways of telling even that story, and it may well be the details that those we speak to may be more concerned about. So I'm going to have to get extremely practical about this. If we want to get to grips with the basics of the Jesus story, read a gospel. Mark's gospel is always a good one to start with because it's quick fire, hard paced, and almost thrilling in its speed and intensity. You can even read it in one sitting. A famous actor just a few years ago actually put on a production in a West End theatre which thousands of people went to. And all he did was stand or sit on stage and recite, in the King James Version, Mark's Gospel. And it was apparently brilliant theatre, all in one evening, all in just a couple of hours. Another good way to remind yourself of the basics is to get hold of a good children's Bible and skim through that. Once again, it gives the basics in simple language. Yes, and there are pictures too. Gosh. But don't for a moment ever think that what it says is beneath us. Now, if you think your friends or acquaintances are going to ask you tough questions, then read some decent modern theology. I'm an immense fan of Bishop Tom Wright. My son's actually smiling at this because he knows I'm always going to mention Tom Wright somewhere. He writes for a more popular audience as Tom Wright, and for a more advanced audience, he calls himself N.T. Wright, which is, of course, his name. He writes with a tremendous insight into all sorts of things, and he even has a series of very listenable podcasts. You just search for Ask N.T. Wright Anything, and believe me, people really do ask him absolutely anything, and he always tries to give a very balanced, careful, but very biblical answer to people's questions. As another basic principle, it's always good to follow a series of Bible study notes, of which there are various paper or online versions. And if you think you're likely to get bombarded with really difficult stuff, you can try listening to Premier Radio's unbelievable podcasts, where atheists and Christians are often found debating together awkward questions, but always in a spirit of respect and tolerance. I find the latter is a good way to relax in the bath, if there isn't a good match on the radio. Football match. Actually, it's probably much more relaxing than a match if West Ham are playing, or AFC Wimbledon come for that. Now, I can't pretend that preparing this sermon has been easy, because how can you possibly sum up the story of Jesus in 500 words or so? And it certainly isn't possible to even begin to suggest ways of telling that story in a few short minutes. But I hope I've given you some idea of how to go about the most rewarding task there is, that of doing what the old song says, telling the old, old story of Jesus and his love. For when all is stripped away, it's about a God who loves us so much that he was willing to die on a cross, his throne, to win us back. Amen.